Good day, Commissioner.
Boy, that was fast. That was very fast.
Doing that on the desk.
Training.
Good job.
Really good.
Good day, Commissioner.
נון קסם מדבס, אחוזת הדם והמאושנת והמצוננת, ושעקלה הרדופני, ושעקלה צועת הרגולים, או ששתת מים הרעים כשרה. Now you were talking about a behemoth, which indeed is a mesukenet because of various things that she might have done, such as a behemoth who is akuzat hadam, so it's flushed. This often happens in sunstroke, where the animal becomes mamish akuzat hadam. So that the temperature rises spectacularly, it's huffing and puffing and red, and generally this will result in death unless you immediately reduce the temperature. Mu'ushenet, inhaled smoke. Mitsunenet, it's got some bronchial disease, it's cold, it's got a cold. She'okla hardufni, or an animal that ate oleander. She'okla tsoat tarnagolim is very unhealthy for animals. Oshishatat mayim arayim, or it drank mayim that were mebulim, or that were in some way, so they were exposed to the possible poison. So in all of these cases, even though the animal may die because of it, it's not a traitor, it's just a standard miskenet, it's kshera. Now there's another problem where the animal is infected by something that is dangerous to humans. That's the ochlasam amavet. That doesn't mean that she is sick from the Sama Mavet. Sama Mavet, by definition, means human poison, not a poison for an animal. Hardufni is poisonous for humans, too, but only as the actual plant. But actually, there was a story recently of someone here that made tea out of Hardufni last year and died. They picked oleander, and they made tea out of the oleander, not realizing that oleander is good and poisonous. But anyway, this animal who eats a poison for humans, or it might have been bitten by a snake and then shechted before dying. So it's muteret als treifus, yes, but it's asura mishum sakanat nefashot. It was because of the fact that it had to be shechted immediately while the poison is still in the system. Means that there's something there that could be dangerous for humans. This is already a mocker for not eating meat that's been too hormoned up, you know.
So it's kosher?
But it's kosher, but you're not allowed to eat it. Hilkit. Did you find out what a hilkit is, by the way, yesterday? No. Okay. I don't know exactly what a hilkit is either. But whatever it is, it's sharp and can actually cut through the stomach digestive system. So you eat a chilkit trefa. What's that?
It's called amino acid polyphenol.
Yeah, so I don't know what that doesn't help very much. But anyway, it's a very, very sharp, maybe a nice Mexican red hot pepper kind of thing. But anyway, it eats right through your tummy. And that could make it a trefa because my diva demidkavu lema'ina, because it actually can make a hole in the intestines. Motiv Ripshizbi. So Ripshizbi asks from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says achuzas adam amushemet v'sha'akla hadufni v'sha'akla tzoat tarnagolim v'shatat ma'im haraim, and in the brisa it adds the hilita. Tia chiltit pilpilin. So here we have, I guess the Mexican peppers are including the pilpilin, right? So the chiltit, it's got to be something else that's good and sharp. Or oklasama mavet kshera. You just said, in that case of hilita chiltit, that is trefa. And in the, it continues the brisa now with our Mishnah, ikisha nachash or shemachka kelev shoteh. Here it adds to the Mishnah the case of a rabid, it was bit by a rabid dog, so now it's dangerous to eat the cow that was bit by the rabid dog. Muteret mishum treifa ve'asura mishum sakanat nefashot. Obviously, you don't want to start ingesting any of those nice organisms. So, in any case, you claim that a chiltit causes an actual hole, in which case it's a treif, and over here it says that it's kosher. First of all, I mean, we have a contradiction of chiltit. And also in our Mishnah it says that Ochlosam Hamavet is Mutarat Mishum Trefava Asura Mishum Sakanat Nefashot. And we don't have over here the Sam Hamavet. Here is that it's kosher. Ochlosam Hamavet is Kshera. It doesn't say any problem over here. So how do we answer these two problems? Well, chiltit achiltit, we can answer by saying it depends which part of the chiltit. Kan be'alin and kan be'kratim. There's different parts of the plant. There's the leaves of the chiltit, and then there's the seeds, the seed pods of the chiltit, and they have different effects. And the samamavet is also not a problem, because as we said, samamavet, the way we use it in the Mishnah, is talking about human poison. So samamavet is not a lokasha, hadidah. When we say it's not a problem, it's kosher, and the Braisa just says that it's kosher. It doesn't say that it's a problem, Sakar is a fosh. It's talking about animal poison. Of course, this is a problem, as we'll see in a moment, and the more we'll ask. We already said a case of animal poison. And the case in the Mishnah was a case of human poison, which is a samamavet, it means poison, what we call poison. Says the Gemara, wait a second. Samamavet, the behema. I mean, what would be the point of saying that if it already talked about oleander? Oleander's poisonous. And why do we need another case of Hardufi or oleander or samamavet? So Haino Hardufi says the same case. You're right. But Tregabne samamavet. I mean, Elchinami. The Mishnah is just talking about different types of actual chemical poison. Or a plant which is poisonous. Not that it's just giving basically the different examples, just like it does in the, it expands in the price of tia, chiltig, pilpulin. Different examples of things that can burn in that fashion. What is tia, by the way? Omer of Yehuda, the tia is the ikur demiri rata. Did you find out what that is, Ellie, in your. I have no idea. I can also read the Rashi. I mean, if you want to add that. The art scroll is adding. Yeah. Shorah shel.
A shorah of tzemach ha'ati. What that word
is? Kroniton.
Okay.
Kroniton. Called Chonik Hadol. Boy, this is straight out of a Tolkien, you know. I mean, it's mamish, an Elvish word, Akonaton. Or bear choker. Okay, it doesn't give the Latin
name. Any other words?
Okay. Omer of Yehuda, I'm on the Ochal Tilta Takli Chiltit. Somebody who eats three loads of this Chiltit, Alibare Konit, on an empty stomach is in big trouble. Mishtalech Mashke, he's going to end up losing his skin. The Rabbeinu Gershon explains this causes such incredibly intense itching that people have been known to literally tear off their epidermis. Ooh. Just from their contact. They just they scratch so much that they're left with their skins in tattered. So Omar Abiyavubidiyavayuvda, I had a mice where I ate only one pound of chiltis. And I'm telling you, if I didn't sit in a pool of freezing cold water, let me tell you, I would have lost my skin. But I was smart to think that water trick, huh? So my wisdom saved my life. Amr of Yosef, I got a better one for you, but don't try this at home. I'm on the Ocho Shetzar Bay. If you eat 16 eggs for your breakfast, you add to that our boy Amguzi. You got to add the right amount of nuts over here. It's a nice big walnuts. Add also Shev Butisa de Parchi. You find out what these are. These are caper, what do you call them? Spuds, yeah. Caper berries, I think they are. And you take seven handfuls of that. And then add to that a nice ravias of honey. Now, that's a nice breakfast. Do this in the middle of the summer, but make sure you haven't had anything else before. Aliba Reconis, guaranteed heart attack. I can't tell you the libe. I mean, that's it. Ahubai. So the eight council that never tried to suppress this Gemara. There was a case where a young tzvi was brought to the Reish Galusa's home when it was its back legs seemed to have been paralyzed, was dragging him. And Batki Rav B'tzomas Hagidim, Rav checked B'tzomas Hagidim V'achshere, and he said, look, there's no problem. So Zavala Mishlam and Abiyomtza, he wanted to eat like a rare steak from this animal. And Shmuel said, wait, hold on a second. Amle Shmuel, Ochayishmar L'Nikuri. You're not afraid that maybe the reason it had symptoms is because it was bit by a snake. Amale Maita Kanta. So what am I supposed to do? Don't worry, sexual. No svibatanura. Don't eat it on a rare, on the fire, on the coal. Put it into the oven and let it bake. Diu bodik nafsha. You'll see it'll check itself. Osve puts it into the oven, and when they take it out, nafal tilche tilche. It fell into like little pieces. Korishmu, which was a sign that it had been, in fact, poisoned. Korishmu aligarab, aha! Lo you nalet sadik alavin. You see? But his brother saw to it that I got there just in time. Kori Rav Alei Deshmul Kol Roz Lo Anasla. Nothing, no secret is missing. Thank heavens you're around. Simone Behima B'chaya Ne'emru Min HaTorah Simone Ha'of Lo Ne'emru. So then we have Beferish Psukim that lists the simonim, as we'll see, the Mafresis Parsim, Aligera. When it comes to Behima B'chaya, the Ofot are only listed by names. We weren't given, the ones that are Tamei are listed by names, and no particular organization was offered us in the Torah. Aval, Amru Chachamim, the Chachamim pointed out that Kol Of Adores Tamei. Any bird which is Dores is Tamei. Rashi says Dores is simply that it uses its claws, its nails in its feet to pick up its food. And puts in the, hawk would be a good example. And so it doesn't have to mean necessarily Dores min ha'avir, in other words, but that's the mode of its eating. And first of all, it's Tamei. Kosh yesh lo etzba yitera. Furthermore, the apology letter today. Anything that has to find this. Etzba Yetera page, please. And Moshe Baruch, you have the Etzba Yetera page. Here we go, page 84. Two explanations. The Etzba Yetera, Rashi says, is a small finger that, no, is that small extra digit that goes behind the three main digits on the kosher bird. Others on the Etzba Yetera, non-kosher birds have two and two. They have two digits in front, two digits in back. The Etzba Yetera would then be the large middle digit that doesn't exist at all on the Of Tamei that splits its foot into two.
So this would be missing? This thing on the back, you're saying?
No,
and
no.
Here's two and two?
Yeah. I don't know if you're saying missing.
Well, you're saying...
Etzba Yetera, kosher bird has that, according to Rashi. Others in the Etzba Yetera is the middle between the two. It doesn't point to that here for some reason. Oh, it does. Oh, here.
That's what I was asking. Hey. So when these are missing, either one.
No, nothing to be missing. We're talking about.
For non-kosher bird.
What do you mean if they're not?
They don't exist. They're missing, as in not there.
Okay. So that's not a kosher bird. Oh, kosher birds.
Oh, I mean, doesn't.
If a simon of a kosher bird is that it has three fingers in front and one in back. Thank you. Thank you very much. A simon of, furthermore, another simon of a kosher bird is that it has a zefek. Remember, the zefek is a crop for storing seeds. And another simon is that its kurkavan is niklaf. And here you can see again, we've talked about this before, you can peel off the lining of the gizzard, the inside of the stomach, so that the muscle outside and the lining inside can be easily pulled apart.
Without a clue.
Yeah, so this is kurkavan or niklaf, that's another simon. And if it has those simonim, it's tahor. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok, Omer, Kol of acholeket raglav tamei. It's given that any bird that will sit and has two fingers in front, two fingers in back, is definitely an Ov Tomei. The Simen of Chagavim, kosher Chagavim, grasshoppers, would be anything that has four raglayim, four knafayim, but has an addition to its four raglayim, kartsulayim, which means that it has those little special jumping legs that extend across the entire body that look over here. You can see the four legs, and then it has an enormous set of leg-like appendages that come out near the head and that extend all the way down across the body.
Which one are we looking at? This one?
All of them. These are examples. The reason has these different pictures we'll see later. But all of these are examples of the simanim given here.
Is
your
locus
also about the Yeah. We'll see. The Gemara is going to discuss. Oh,
so
we haven't gotten there.
Four front legs and these jumping legs?
Four front legs. There's four
one,
legs
two, three,
and
three,
jumping legs.
And jumpers.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
This mission doesn't address all the mind, does it? Or is it the same? Same thing?
They don't have fingers.
Yeah, we're not saying it's the only thing. We said it's called Oaf. It has. That's all. Rabbi Yossi, I mean, that's not. Oh, and also the Knafav Rechofin Es Rubo. The wings have to extend along most of the body. There's some species that have short wings. Rabbi Yossi says, oh, that's all very nice, but there's one other simon that's very important, and that is its name. It has to be called a Chagav. And if it isn't called a Chagav, then it could have all these simonim. That doesn't make it kosher. Ubedagim koshi yeshlo snapir v'kaskeset. So if it has fins and scales, it's kosher. Rabbi Yehuda Omer shnei kaskasim v'snapir achad. It's enough even if it has only two scales and a fin. Ve'elohim kaskasim. When we refer to the kaskasim, we're talking about hakfu'im bo, the things that are on its body itself, like mail, same word that we use for armor. And snapirim are the things that it uses to propel itself. Apareach behem. Tana rabban Elohim simane beima, as it says in the pasuk, kol beima mafreses parsa malegira, and so on. Now, and this is a very strange brisa. Kol beima shemalat gira biyadua shein la shinaim lemala v'tahora. The world is unbelievable. Any behema that it chews its cud, then it's clear that it doesn't have teeth in its upper jaw, and it's tahor, as if like it's important for us to know about teeth in the upper jaw. First of all, says the Gemara, it's not even true. V'chulolo, is that even so? I mean, how about a gamal? A gamal is mala gira, and it also doesn't have shinayim lamala, and it's nonetheless tame. Ah, that's all very nice. But a gamal has needed.
Actually,
got two. No, it's here.
It really
shows it. Jamal has
needed. No, hidden this picture. Look at this. This is right out of Star Wars, this one. This one. You got to see the Star Wars picture. This is really.
Yeah, this is Mama straight out of Star Wars. Beautiful. Okay, this is good. I'll leave it for a second. If you don't mind.
No, I don't mind.
Okay, so basically what we're talking about over here is remembering that a ruminant does not chew its food at all. It chews its cud. And cud is not something that it eats. Cud is something that is manufactured inside of the reticulum and is shot back up to the mouth, and it's chewed in the back of the mouth. It has nothing to do with eating, or bites along its front, swallows the food whole, and swallows the food whole, and then it chews it. Because of that, it has a completely different shape. If you take a look over here, take a look at the difference between the sus and the pora. The sus has got a full complement of teeth up front, besides the molars in the back. And the pora does not have any teeth, except on the bottom, which it presses against the plate on top, to cut the... It's scissors. It's pure scissors. And it's more effective than two sets of teeth, because it doesn't need to chew. It just cuts.
It just cuts.
Now, the camel, besides that, the camel has two different issues. One which doesn't show up very well here, but one which does show up here in this beautiful Star Wars pictures on page 86. It has, first of all, what appear to be like canine teeth. on top, a jut out from the side. Plus, it has a bony plate that is split into teeth-like projections, so it could press against it very hard.
So it's like
those are also, Rashi brings both Purusha in terms of Nevi.
Top and bottom?
Yeah, no, they all have bottom. We're talking about only, they all have bottom, they have to cut the grass. Okay, so now, so there's a number of things that are problematic with this braisa. Problem number one is that it's not even true. A gomel is malagera, and a gomel does not have shinayim, and it's tameh. Says the Gemara, although it doesn't have shinayim, it does have these canine projections, or the bony projections that look like teeth. And that's why we are safe in making this assertion. That ain't la shinayim. Well, wait a minute. But so gomel nevi isla. As I said, nevi, there's two explanations. Tosis points out we always use nevi as teeth, not as bony projections. You talk about canine teeth, scratching with the nevi, projecting the nevi, and using them as weapons, which of course is part of the camel's tricks. Okay, well, what about a ben gomel? A young camel does not develop nevi. Nevi less like. So that ben gamal, it would mean that you can't really say that there's a connection between not having teeth above and between being tar. I mean, furthermore, I mean, we know we have a shafan and an arnevet, which the Torah calls male gera because they simply keep chewing, even though they don't really have a cud, but they chew in the back of their mouth the way a ruminant does, male. So it looks like a male gera, and certainly Ashinayim Lamala, because it's not a male gera. And you're claiming that the lack of teeth is a definite proof that it's a true male gera, and therefore it's kosher. I don't understand. Furthermore, I don't understand who the heck cares whether it has teeth. I mean, the way you set up this brisa is very weird. You're setting up the brisa in such a way as to say, well, you know, the most important thing is the teeth. So now, if it's malagera, you should know for sure there's no problem with the teeth, because it doesn't have teeth. Who cares about teeth? You're making like it's a given that teeth are meaningful. So besides, says the Gemara, said something about teeth, but you're making a big deal about teeth. Ela hachikam. The real meaning of the brisa clearly is this. Now, kol beimah she'ein lo shinayim lemala, that if you have an animal that does not have teeth in its upper jaw, the yadua shehi ma'alat geira u'mafreset parsa, that itself is sufficient proof that it is a kosher animal. Now, obviously, this is only, as we'll see later on, that you are well aware of what a young camel looks like and you'll be able to identify this animal if it's a young camel. Otherwise, you don't know, because there is one exception, which is a camel. Well, what do you mean, biyadua? I mean, is there a problem to look at its feet? Why don't we just look? So, what are you telling me, biyadua shimala? I'll look and see if it's a reference parsa. No, we're talking about an actual event where you can't check. The parasot are missing. So somebody comes across an animal that's in bad shape. He's walking along in a midbar. He finds an animal without parasot at all. They're chatuchot. So what it's saying over here is that if you know what a camel looks like, then you can check its mouth, and you can be sure that it can be eaten. The Om Rafista Hayama Halech by Midbar. You find an animal that's missing the parasot, bodek bepia, check its mouth. If it's got no teeth in the upper jaw, biadua shehi tahora, then you know that it's a tahor animal even without checking its teeth. But if you do find shinayim, biadua shehi tamea. This test only works for someone who knows what a young camel looks like. Bovachi yakir gamal. Gamal? What do you mean? Wait a minute. You're saying a camel? A camel has teeth. Because you said if it has to have nothing in its upper jaw, a camel has nevi. And then gamal nevi. You say, no, I mean, shakir ben gamal. If you know what a young camel looks like, then you can be certain, if this isn't one, And it's some species that is without teeth in the upper jaw, you're definitely looking at a kosher ruminant, there's no question about it. They don't develop in the young camel, so you wouldn't be able to tell. Depends how hungry you are, man. Now, so think about now. Wait a second. If you're ready to admit that this simen is not an absolute, I mean, you're saying there's a ben gamal. A ben gamal would meet these criteria. So you have to know the ben gamal. But all of the tens of thousands of species in the world, how do you know that you know all the species? I mean, so it's the same way there's a ben gamal. So maybe there's some other species that meets these requirements, but that does not have my precious person. I mean, you're relying on you're going in a midbar. A guy's on safari in Africa. He gets war, but what kind of mishigas is that? So maybe there's an economy, minachrina, the dami, the ben gamal. So maybe there's some other species that's got the same issue. Lo salkadaita, no, impossible. The Tani Devei Rishwal, as the Tani Devei Rishwal pointed out, v'et ha-gamal ki ma'al ha-gira. What in the world is the Torah talking about? V'et ha-gamal ki ma'al ha-gira. And what about the thousands of other species that nobody knows about yet? So why didn't the, what's the Torah saying? It's a gamal. Just tell me. And you can't not press as far as I'm with the arrow. You're bringing me a gamal. But the point is that incredibly enough, shalit balono yodea, she'en lecha davar ma'ala gera betamei ela gamal. There is no other species. And indeed, till today, thousands of years later, no species has ever been discovered that has ma'ala gera, that is mafretes barsa, except this particular crazy example, which is the gamal. So every other case is, in fact, the shore, or a type of shore, or an A's, or a type of A's, or a bakar, a type of bakar, and there isn't anything else. So only this is the problem. You will not find anything else like it. And there's a fish of piret po hakatuv. Therefore, the Torah was mefaret hu, only this case. And therefore, if you know it ain't a camel, and it is a malat gera, then it is a mafreset parsa, and there's nothing to worry about. Everything is a type, is a subspecies. The subspecies. We'll see. This leads us to the latest scandal, as I'm sure you've heard, which is Zabumit. I'm sure everybody's heard of this. Of taboo on Zabu. Exactly. It's the latest scandal. If you want to eat kosher meat, do not buy badatz meat from South America. Everybody found out it was really Zabu.
What's
that? Ah, that is the million-dollar question.
A Bremen cattle.
The
Indian cattle.
The
Brahmin.
The
Brahmin.
Yeah.
What's
the
one? No. We'll get to it. We're going to get... We will get to it. We haven't got to it yet. We'll get to it. In a moment. Look, says the Gemara. So, okay, so that's the lower. The Omer of Kister. Kister also pointed out that you can have an opposite situation where you've got a you may find an animal that has been damaged in the jaw and you can't see whether it has teeth or not or whether it's a maligera. But you can be bodik the parasot. Check the parasot. In parasotea sidukot, if it has split hooves, biyadua shi tehura, it's definitely tahar. Im lav yadua shu tmeah. If not, it's tame. But you must recognize pig family. If you don't know a pig from a non-pig, forget it. If you know a pig, and this ain't no pig, then it's definitely a kosher animal if it's not present parsa. No, wait a minute. Lav amradika chazir. I mean, maybe there's some other species that also has the same ability to have parasot, and yet it's not malagira. See, you can have mina prina, daimil chazir. Lo sakamaita, impossible. The time of the very Yishmael, why did the Torah mention the chazir? Imafris parasai. Because, shalipolo no yodea, but the world who knows, out of all the thousands of different species, there is no other species that is mafris parasai. Vitame, there can't be an example of another mean. That is Mafri's parasa, that is not Malad Gera, except for the pig in all its variety, including the the water pig, otherwise known as the hippopotamus and so on. But all of these animals are pig family members, and therefore they're...
It's the same family?
Yeah, very, very, very much.
It's the biggest pig.
It's the biggest pig, yeah. Very piggy. Doesn't have the... And that, therefore the Torah mentions it. Otherwise, obviously, it would be absurd for the Torah to mention it, because just give us the simonim, that way it'll be universal. What are you telling us? Only animals that we know. The Omer of Kista. Furthermore, if you got a really sad case, and you read Mahalik the Zidbar, and you find the animal's got neither. It's Pia Gamun, it's Parasatel, Hatuchot, you're really in trouble. But there's still a solution. Bodek bivisara. Check the way that the muscle tears on it. Ima'ala chasiva erev. If the flesh and the muscle goes in two directions, usually it's only striated, and you can pull along one way, not the other way. But if it's ma'ala chasiva erev, in a particular place, as we'll see, only in the rump, biyadua shitora. But of course you have to know what an arod looks like. If you don't know what an arod looks like, forget it, because an arod, good question, an arod has got this, the same thing.
It's not a wild animal.
That's how it's translated. I don't know if anybody particularly knows what it. We'll see later on discussions about the arod. Well, wait a minute. Lav amadika arod, I mean, you said there's an arod that has this. Maybe there's other species that are like an arod. No, that's a Kabbalah we have. Gemir Delek. We have a Kabbalah that there's no other species like that. Ve'ech abodek, which muscles do you check? On Rabbi V'teng Rafista, be'kanfei ha'okets. Underneath the buttocks, the muscles that we're talking about over there, that meat can be torn in both directions. Simone chaya. Now, the Mishnah says Simone behemah. Vichaya, because of course the Torah never tells us any difference between kosher animals and kosher chayas in terms of mafresis parasam alagira. There is an important difference between a chaya and a behemoth, namely that a chaya, because it's not kosher from the mizbeach, it's chela v'stoha. But how do we identify a chaya? So first we mistake the meaning of Tanur Rabbanan Elohim Simone Chaya. The following is Simone V'chaya. Talking about Simone Chaya. Chaya is a behemah. Why would we list separately the Simone of a Chaya? Amar Rebbe Zera, we're talking about a simon lahatir chalba. The Bryce here is trying to tell us, how do I know that what I'm looking at is a technical Chaya as opposed to behemah? In which case, I'm allowed to eat it chayla. That's the question. So, Elohim, simanei chaya shechelba mutar, kosher yesh lakarnayim v'tlafayim. If it has horns and nails, the bottom of its feet, then it's a chaya. Now, we're going to see soon that there's different types of horn. And what it's referring to, obviously, there are many behemoths that have horns. We'll talk about the type of horns in a moment. We're talking about unique horns. So horns of a chaya. The simplest meaning over here is that we're dealing with two issues. Karnayim, it should have chaya type horns. That means it's not a behemoth. And it also has the tlafayim, because that way I know that it can't be a chaya tmeya. But otherwise, if you know it's a chaya, maybe it's a chaya tmeya. But if it has feet that have tlafayim that are split hooved, as you can see, and tlafayim come to a sharp edge, or a lot sharper anyway than a little gentle-toed cow. Here you can see some examples. See how the para?
The
para is like the old-fashioned high heels. You know, the
spike heels
of the tree.
The metal heels, yeah.
But that makes them faster.
Right? Yeah. Cows are not known for their speed. Well, if it has splits, then it's kosher. And then we're going to talk about the various types of horns. We haven't got to there yet. So that's the simple explanation. Simple explanation, we're talking about two different issues. Karnaim, this is Tosis's initial opinion. The Karnaim is here to tell me it's not a behema. Obviously it means particular types of Karnaim to be explained. There's lots of behemas, but Karnaim, cows have Karnaim. And for fines, to make sure that given that you have a chaya that has Karnaim, if it also has Tlafayim, then you should know that it's also Malagera and Mafris Parasa. You see, it's Mafris Parasa. Only the chayas that are kosher would have the simen of the Karnaim. That's one shot. Rabbeinu Tam has a different shot. And he says that Tlafayim are not mentioned here in terms of kashrus. Kashrus, the same sigi that we had before. There's no separate issue of the kashrus. But rather, it's coming only to talk about which simonim are matir the chelav of a chaya, and it's saying if it has karnayim, plus it has the type of tlafayim that are sharp, like on page 87, then it's definitely a chaya tahera, and its chelav is tahar. There are, however, the reason that, and we'll see why the Rabbeinu Tam has to say this, because otherwise it's a spirit to the sugya later on. He says, because there are types of behemoths that we do not have in our area, but that live in other places, that do have chaya type karnayim. The only thing is that they still do not have the tlafayim. Or there are behemoths that do have tlafayim, but they do not have chaya type karnayim. Now, even though no one has ever seen anything like that in our area, but the Gemara is coming, La Fuke, those species, to tell me, don't think that those are chayas, those are behemoths. Yes, there certainly is.
So with a chay, you have to cover.
Yeah, well, we're talking about kosher here. So that's what it's coming to talk about. So it's Latir Chelba. Ready to go somewhere? Rabbi Dosh says you don't need tlafayim. Yesh la karnayim, yata trik lakzorak tlafayim. You don't have to check the karnayim, the tlafayim, if it has karnayim. But if it has tlafayim, tzarich ata lakzorak karnayim. Then you do have to check the karnayim. And these karnayim, by the way, are not absolute, because there's such a thing as a keresh. And a keresh only has one keren. And that unicorn is mutter, and that's that type of chaya. It's interesting that Sichas Chulin says that the keresh is a giraffe, because the giraffe does not have true horns. It has those little bumps. The only true horn it has comes out of its forehead, and it's bent down along the skull. And later on, the Gemara is going to say the keresh has in its forehead a horn. There's no other animal that has a forehead in its horn. Plus, the other simon of a keresh, amazingly, is that its skin is 16 amas long, which is exactly what you can find in a large giraffe. The Sichas Chulin says, maybe that's exactly what it's referring to, because it adds up very nicely. Like this, it comes out to be some mythical, gigantic beast, you know, with a unicorn. And here they're very precious. Now, the klalahu, wait a second. Is it a klal that anything that has a kanayim is a chayim? I don't get it. An ace. What about a goat? A goat has karnayim. A goat has tlafayim, as we can see here in the picture. The goat's feet, although you wouldn't confuse them with a deer or an ibex, but you could still see it's not like a para. It definitely has nails. It comes to a point. So why isn't... Next page has one? Oh, okay. It doesn't have... It has an ace? Okay, so clearly has horns. Clearly has got sharp feet. So what's the... why are you giving that as a simon of a chaya? Everybody knows the chelav of an ace is usur. Yes, but I didn't tell you what type of horns. We need to have horns that are kruchot. Kruchot means that the horn is built up layer upon layer, so that it looks like... No. so that it looks like a layered horn rather than a cow horn, which is just a single, it's like a single type. No, that's not it. It's the wrong picture.
Doesn't mean bed?
Gentlemen, it means what I told you.
Doesn't mean aisle?
So, let's please continue. Ask the Gemara, but Ashar also has kruchot. Because you take a look at a shor, it does not look like a cow. It looks like it has levels in it. It's built up layer after layer of horn. True, and it's chelav is aser, but I didn't tell you. It also needs to be charukot. It needs to have a lot of cracks in it. Now you can see the charukot in the picture on
ridges.
Ridges. Okay. Types of ridges, and we'll see that that's not going to be enough either. Now, wait a minute. Charukot, and back to an ace. An ace has definitely got ridges. Look at that. Where's the ace?
Well, the ridges aren't as clear.
Doesn't have an ace here?
Not here.
Yeah, this is Rashi calls it. Oh, no, that's right. Yeah. All right, so here in this picture in the art school, you can see an ace. I'm not sure if it has this in English art scroll, but someone is offering it for you listeners. We got a Hebrew art scroll, it's unpaged. It has no
page.
No, that doesn't. Yeah, okay, but it doesn't have an extra. They don't get pages.
No, okay.
Says the Gemara, but wait, that's also not enough. Because you have an ace that's chalukot, and it's chalbo asur. Well, it also has to be mefutzal. I mean, so if it's mefutzal, you know, it looks like what we call a deer. It's got antlers. So it's mefutzal in all directions.
But what does that mean?
They shoot out into, like a tree. They branch. They branch. So the Gemara, well, wait a minute. Hey, Tzvi is not Mefutzal. Now, this is a problem, right? Because what the heck is that supposed to mean? Everybody knows a Tzvi is Mefutzal. I mean, here is a nice picture of a Tzvi, and it's got antlers, and it's definitely Mefutzal. And therefore, Rashi says it would appear that what we call a Tzvi is not the Tzvi that the Gemara calls a Tzvi, but rather, the Tzvi is actually an ibex. So that it would not be Mefutzal.
I had an Israeli zoologist who told me that a tzvi is a gazelle, and what we call a deer is an
well. Rashi brings that also. He brings it that Steinbuch. Steinbuch, type of antelope. Steinbuch. Yeah, Steinbuch is a tzvi, and it's not mefutzal. It's got real horns. Now Tosa's got a real problem with Rashi. Because Tosa says, look, we've got a lot of simonim for Tzvi in various midrashim and so on. Tzvi, first of all, one of the things, Eretz Tzvi. Eretz Yisrael is called Eretz Tzvi because it keeps stretching. And it's able to contain a greater and greater population. And we know that that's just like a Tzvi's skin. When you take a look at the Tzvi's skin, it's elastic. You can't fit a Tzvi back into its skin. Well, that's exactly true about deer, says Tosa. So it must be a deer. Furthermore, another thing is Dometo di le tzvi. It says what just like a tzvi never sleeps completely closing both eyes, sleeps like Gandalf, sleeping the eyes open.
That's not Richie.
It's exactly the case of a tzvi. A tzvi leaves its eye open when it sleeps. So the deer, what we call a deer. Therefore Tosa says this guy, how come actually it's not a deer? Therefore Tosus, as it says, the girsa should not be mefutzalot, but rather mevutzalot, which means that it goes straight up and bent at the edge and so on. All right, but in any event, the Sichas Chulin points out that if it really is the type of antelopes, it satisfies the other requirements as well, and therefore everything would make sense. I'll leave it a ration. Fine. So it's me and mefutzalot. So, but anyway, we have a problem. Here we have a tzvi that's not mefutzal. You're telling me it has to be mefutzal. Well, a tzvi's not mefutzal. And everybody knows that a tzvi's chelav is mutter. Ah! I didn't tell you. There's one other issue. It also has to be chadurot, or some say hadurot. So we need that they should be chadurot, which Rashi learns. He says, I was taught that chadurot means that they're round, whereas the tzvi's are flattened, as you can see here. All these type of antennae, all those ones with the deep ridge, they're not round, they're sort of like flattish. So, but he says, I don't believe that that's true, because that should be included in the simon that we had earlier of kruchot. Because kruchot, by definition, are also round. It's always the word we use for karuch, even though it means built up layer upon layer. But it's round layer upon layer. Therefore, he suggests that it means sharp tipped. So they come to a sharp tip as opposed to a blunt tip.
So when the antlers are blunt?
No. We're saying that tzvi, which is not, we said tzvi is inan mefutsalot. So he's giving us now that if it's chadurot, like ayo, but tzvi, so that's also okay. So now, therefore, we end up with a number of different ways of looking at it. Therefore, yoga. If it's mefutsal, so then lo din avelot. There's nothing to discuss, because if it's mefutsal, it's definitely a chaya, and why are we discussing it? The only thing that was mefutsal was the chaya. So that's okay. If it's not mefutsal, then you have to make sure that you're dealing with a chaya, and not one of the other animals that could have either kruchot, like the shor, or the chadurot, like the aves, and so on. So you need to have kruchot, chadurot, v'charukot, and then you know that you're talking about a chaya, and that way you're not going to have any question about the other. If it's charukot, so it's not a shor. If it's chadurot, it's not an aves. And even though we shouldn't need chadurot, because we haven't seen that, the machlokas Rashi tells us why we would need chadurot. Lo ki Rashi learns it's because of the aves that we're going to discuss later on, which is called the aves de karkuz, which may have this simon too. Taisus gives other explanations. But when we say charukot, also it's haru, the mivlach yurkayu. It's only that the charukot are close to each other, leaning in one to another, not that we have different separated ridges that aren't one up against another. That's the type of charukot we're talking about over here. And that, in fact, is the suffix of the Isa de Karkus, which has chadurot charukot, and therefore we're worried, again there's a machlokas here, Rashi learns it, we're worried that since it's called it, oh gosh, I thought I told these guys I'm not giving them. Oh gosh, I feel terrible. I told Rabaran to tell them that I'm not giving shir on Sunday and Monday. Okay, so in this case, please tell them that I told him to give them the message and stuff.
Sunday and Monday, no shiur.
I asked you, please tell them
that message was passed to Rabaran, and it somehow didn't get healed.
Yeah, I asked him to tell you up there that you shouldn't, that I wasn't giving shiur on these 2 days.
Okay, they told me Sunday they didn't.
So sorry, I feel terrible. Maybe it's time for a bagel breakfast again. I apologize. I feel terrible.
We got the message yesterday.
All right, fine. Okay, so that's the Eid of the Karkus. Now, there was an Eid of the Karkus that was brought to the Reish Galusa, where they took out the Okur Molek San of the Tarbamine. They took out an entire barrel full, a bucket full of fat that we're hoping it was kosher. But Rabbi Choy said it's Osir, because it's a Suffolk, these are the Karkas, he's not sure it's called the Aze. Maybe because it's called an Aze, or according to Tosis, because it has some of these Simonim, but not all of them. So, it might be considered a behemoth. He didn't let them eat it. But Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Rabu, he ate all things. Kori Anakshe, and he said, see, me pri pi ish is babit no. When a man learns well, his tummy gets filled. Because I was mekabel this halacha, that it's not a suffix if he's in a car, because I had plenty to eat. Shochu mitam, they sent halacha from Eretz Yisrael. You should know that the halacha is indeed like Rav Shmuel Berei de Rabbi Abuhu, that it's kosher. But don't flaunt this in front of Rabbeinu Achoy. Note they call him Rabbeinu, not Rabbi Abuhu. So don't flaunt it. Shemeir enei golahu. You should look at him as your big pesek. And he didn't have it. So try to talk him to him about it. Explain to him that there's a kabbalah on it and so on. But don't chas v'shalom be mezalzel in his psak.
Is that something to do with that person's problem?
You know what? I think we'll do it tomorrow because it's getting late. Let me just finish. This is a very simple piece coming up. I'm so sorry. I even brought a letter about it from the Chazon Ish. I was going to read it. We'll do it tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem. So, Keresh, Abba Pishen, Lo Keren Achas, Mutarom, Rabbi Yehuda. Keresh is called the Tavya de Be'iloi. It's called the forest, the secret forest of Be'iloi, deep in Africa. So the Keresh is the tzvi of that forest. And they run. And the Tigris is the Arya of the Be'iloi. The Omer of Kana.
Tigers, what
do
we
say? It sounds like tigers. Omer of Kana. Tisha Amos Avibinuna no Una, the Arya of the Be'iloi. Look, just between the two ears of the Arya of the Be'iloi, you've got nine Amos. Omer of Yosef. Rav Yosef says, you take a look at a skin of the Tavya of Be'iloi, you're not going to believe it. It's 16 Amos long. So sheets are almost having mashka the Tavya of Be'iloi. So the Kesar once told Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, they used to have these fights all the time, making fun of the religion. So he said, you know, I hear that your God is called Eloheichem Ka'ayematil. It says Ayesh Ach Milo Yirah Hashem Elokim Diber Milo Yinave. So he's a big lion. No. Big deal. Hayeshag milo yira. My rabuse, what's the big deal about a lion? Parsha katu arya. You can always have a rider on a horse, or you know, a knight. You can kill a lion. Omar lay. So Rabbi Yeshua is a nice. Ah, come on, man. Lafka hayayir imato. Not like one of those cheap old lions like you guys kill. We're talking about a real lion, an arya to be loy matyo. On my lay, so the Caesar said, oh yeah, huh? Be in the Michazis. Show me one. On my lay, lo matzis chazinale. Believe me, you couldn't. Couldn't happen. On my lay, Hebrew, oh indeed. Chazinale, I insist. So, Bori, Rachame. Indeed. Bori, Russian Bori. Oh, absolutely, I will. So, Bori, Rachame. So, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya asked for a little mace over here to put on a nice sign, a light show for this guy. So is Akir Midukte. So the Arya of Eloi began its run.
The
Arya moved. So when it was within 400 farsos, it let loose one roar. Niem chat kala. So every pregnant woman in Rome was mapilas. Rapila kol mahabarata, and the wall of Rome collapsed. That was at 400 farsos. Now, 300 parsos, at America Klasmea parsa, the ground was starting to rumble. It let out another roar. Niem kolach, nina notur kake vishini de gabri. People's teeth and molars fell out, and poor Caesar fell off from his throne. Not for me, cursively, Ari. So Caesar said, you know, maybe you're right. I'm tissim enough. Boy, Rachmele, the Lahad Ladufte. Maybe you could ask for Rachamim. Let him go home. Boy, Rachmele, Lahad Ladufte. We'll hear the rest of Caesar's challenges tomorrow.
Same bad time, same bad time.